So before we start the Igaris HaGra, so let's just very briefly about who the Gra was. The Gra was the Rabbeinu Elio Kramer, I think was his last name. He was from the city of Vilna. He lived from the year 1720 to 1797. He left us in writing, he was always very terse. His Perushim on the Shulchan Aruch, his Bir HaGra on the Shulchan Aruch, his Hagos HaGra on the Gemara, he would be Mitzayin, one line, a few Mar Makomos, and expect us to understand it. Sfarim have been written just to understand what the Gra meant, and when you uncover what the Gra meant, obviously he was alluding to much deeper things. The Gra, we also have the Gra on some Sfarim of Tanakh, Megillas Esther, most notably Megillas Esther, Mishle, the Gra on Mishle. Maybe one day we'll get to the Gra on Mishle. Welcome, Tali's sister. Okay, and that was the Gra. The Gra was Yadua that he would that he later in life he would learn he reached such a high madrega that he was able to read from a Sefer Torah. And everything that Chazal had to say about any pasuk from the Midrashim, from the Gemaras, he was able to pull it out. And the Gra was kol kulo shakua. He was stayed in his room. He never really came out. He never left. He wasn't out in the world. But when his Talmud was the Dubna Magid. So he once asked the Dubna Magid. Dubna Magid, he always used to give a mushal, and he would give musr. He would go around. He was a magid. He would go around giving musr to people. So they've only gone to ask him to give musr. So what are you going to give Musar to Vilna Gaon? He could count on his finger the minutes that he wasted that year. You know, they say the story, I don't know if it's true, but his sister came to visit him. He hadn't seen her in 25 years. He came, he said hello, and he said, and that was it. And he went back. I was at a chasana last night, and Rav Yisrael Reisman, who I am a huge chassid of, Rabbi Reisman, the chasana was my Rav's son got married in Brooklyn, so I knew Rabbi Reisman would come because Rabbi Reisman and my Rav were chavrusas for many years in Yeshiva Torah Vadas. Rabbi Reisman came into the wedding towards the end of the chuppah. I looked at my watch. It was 7:28. He wished a mazel tov. He was out of the wedding by 7:32. He had done his job there. He wished a mazel tov. He didn't need to be there anymore. He was there for 4 minutes. He didn't miss second seder. He didn't miss night seder. He was there for a total of 4 minutes. The Vilna Gaon wasted barely moments in his day. So the Dubna Magid, what musar is he going to give him? The Dubna Magid said to him, he said, "You're the Vilna Gaon. It's so special. It's so easy to be the Vilna Gaon. You sit in a room all day with nothing. Try going out into the market and staying the Vilna Gaon." And the Vilna Gaon burst into tears, and the Dubna Magid burst into tears. That I don't know that we could become the Vilna Gaon if we were sitting in a room all day. But the Vilna Gaon, for what it was worth, was very secluded. The Roshim that he had was kind of like from a loftier position. He wasn't with the people. He was in his room learning all day, all night, all the time. His Talmidim, he had many Talmidim who moved to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who founded the Volozhin Yeshiva, which was Eim HaYeshivas, Avia Yeshivas. The Rav Chaim Volozhiner was a very close Talmud of his, and many other names that reverberate throughout the Torah world. That was a little bit of the Vilna Gaon. At a certain point in his life, towards the end of his life. I don't know if we have an exact date of when this letter was published. I did very little research. I did a little research, not a tremendous amount. I didn't want to get caught up with the details of the letter. The historical details, there's a bunch of different versions that we have. At some point, he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he left his family, and he went to go to Eretz Yisrael. On his way to Eretz Yisrael, he wrote this letter. Now, it's interesting. I thought it was very interesting that he didn't write the letter and then leave it under his pillow, you know, and then send his wife a text message on the way out of the city. "By the way, check under the pillow. I wrote you a letter." This letter was written. I saw in one of the versions, they say it was written in Germany when he was on his way. Others say it wasn't written in Germany. I'm not really sure, and again, the historical details, you could do research. I don't know exactly. the letter was written in Yiddish, and because of that, the Hebrew version that we had was obviously not the exact words of the Gra, though that was a translation. Who translated it? There were different versions of the translation, and some of the words are different. That's why there's different nuschos. Some of the more modern printings will either have the different nuschos in parentheses. Others will print it like print both of them, one in front and one in back. But there were different versions. Most of the versions, the major changes were there were a lot of nus, like the nusach was whether it was masculine or feminine, whether it was Zachar or Nekeva, because supposedly in Yiddish, I don't know this for a fact, but supposedly in Yiddish, there's no such thing as Zachar and Nekeva. Like Ata and At would be the same thing. So when they translate into Hebrew, there were different versions of how they translated it, so it came out a little bit differently. There is a third version, they call it the third version, but some call it the tenth version, whatever it is, called the Aram Tzova edition. And here also I found, here is where they say the Aram Tzov edition is the one that has the most changes. Where the Aram Tzov edition is not generally studied, there are those who say that the changes in the Aram Tzov, we're going to see that some of the ideas that the Gra writes might or might not fit in with secular society in the year 2021. And for the Sfarda Kehillah also, there might have been certain ideas which would be hard to relate to, so the person who translated it for that community made a few changes so that it was more palatable for them. But be that as it may, I shared with you the text on Sepharia. Even on Sepharia, I think you could actually get two different versions, but they're minor changes. Again, I'm going to be using Rabbi Goldberg from Telz. This is the collection of all the Igros, Igros Ramban, Igros HaMusar from Rabbi Sol Salanter, Igros HaTshuva from Rabbi Nuyona. So he also has the Igros HaGra. Now, the Vilna Gaon was on his way to Eretz Yisrael, and he never made it. He turned around and he came back. So he wrote this letter, which was to his wife. It was also to his mother, and he turned around. That's why I don't know that he could have been so far on in years, because his mother was still alive. What was the reason why he didn't make it? So they quote in the Sfarim, and here I have this other version from Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz. So before the Sefer starts, they quote here from the Sefer Aliyos Aliyo on the Vilna Gaon, that one of the reasons was, there were two reasons, both were halachic reasons. This wasn't financial, it wasn't like he ran out of money and he couldn't pay for the boat. The Shulchan Aruch holds that there's a shaila. If you bring an apple, if you bring a wheat, or let's say dagon, because dagon is chayev midoraisa. So you bring dagon, grain, into Eretz Yisrael from Chutz La'aretz. So do you have to be mafresh on that grain? So the Shulchan Aruch paskens that you don't. You don't have to because the grain was from outside of Eretz Yisrael. The fact that you brought it into Eretz Yisrael doesn't change that it was grown outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Shulchan Aruch paskin that way, and in Eretz Yisrael at the time, the Shulchan Aruch was the king and the boss. And everybody paskin like, everybody had to follow the Shulchan Aruch. There was actually a cherem on being machmir, meaning the Rabbanim came out that you weren't allowed to be machmir against the Shulchan Aruch and be mafresh, trumas and maizros, from your produce that came from outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon was of the opinion. The Vilna Gaon consistently argues with the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah in his Bir Hagra. The Chazon Ish actually says that the Vilna Gaon has a status of a Rishon. When he argues with Rishonim, he's entitled to. That's the Chazon Ish's opinion, which is a big Chiddush. We always assume Achronim are Achronim, Rishonim are Rishonim. But when the Vilna Gaon argues with the Rishonim, somehow he's given a status of being able to be a Bar Plukta, or a Cholik on the Rishonim. So the Shulchan Aruch said that you're not only not allowed to be Mafresh, you're not allowed to be Machmir on it either. And the Vilna Gaon disagreed. The Vilna Gaon held that you have to be that you have to be mafresh. So he was concerned that if he comes to Eretz Yisrael, he won't be allowed to be mafresh because it was a cherem against taking trumas and maisros on yevul chutz la'aretz, produce from outside of Eretz Yisrael. And because of that, he wasn't going to be able to keep the halacha the way he understood the halacha. So I can't go to Eretz Yisrael. The second reason was They give another reason over there, that there were ants on the boat. And the ants were ate through the bread. And all the bread got spoiled, and there was no bread. So on Shabbos, he wouldn't be able to have a Shabbos Suda. So because of that, if he wasn't going to be able to have a proper Shabbos Suda with Lacha Mishnah, it's not worth staying on a boat for weeks and months and not have Suda Shabbos for so many weeks and months to go to Eretz Yisrael. This is a big... this itself, the fact that he never made it to Eretz Yisrael, is already enough of a Musar Haskel. Just very briefly, the Gemara in Sota says, and this is... I think it's a Gemara in Sota, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was davening to go into Eretz Yisrael, he wasn't davening to go into Eretz Yisrael because he wanted... it was nice weather, they had good hummus, the food was good, the atmosphere was good. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu's desire to go into Eretz Yisrael was because he wanted to perform the mitzvos. So they've only gone the same way. If by going to Eretz Yisrael I'm not going to be able to perform the mitzvos, so then what was the whole point? I'm not going to Eretz Yisrael for the chavaya. We go after high school, we go for a year, people go for a chavaya, have an experience, tour the land, and that's also wonderful. But Moshe Rabbeinu and the Vilna Gaon, when we go to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to have an aliyah in Ruchnius, and if I'm not going to be able to keep my halacha, so then what would be the point of going? The other nekuda, and this is a very important hashkafa that we have to have. There was once a group that was involved in Kiruv in Russia, and they came to Rav Shach. They told Rav Shach that they had a group of young adult Russians, Jewish, not religious. And they felt, understanding the culture, the way to get these people to come to an event would be to make a party, to have dancing, mixed dancing, among other things. You serve kosher food, but if you make the food good, it's fine. And once you get them there, you could start talking to them. You know, somebody could give a speech and they could be hanging out with everybody and slowly but surely, hopefully, you know, work to bring them back. And they went to ask Rav Shach if they're allowed to do it. In other words, there would be mixed dancing. They'd be bringing them together for mixed dancing. But in a way, the end would justify the means, that hopefully this would get them there. If they couldn't, you know, if they would tell them we're having a party, but men and women have to be separate, they wouldn't understand that, they wouldn't come. What are you trying to do to me? So they went to Rav Shach, and Rav Shach said, you absolutely cannot do that, because our job in life is to follow the halacha. The Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge of the master plans and how things work out. You want to save the world, you want to save all of Russian Jewry, you have this great idea, that's wonderful. But you're responsible to keep halacha. You have to keep halacha. If the halacha says men and women can't dance together, so then there's nothing to talk about. They can't dance together. There's no such thing as the end justifying the means. Now, there are cases in halacha where the halacha says that you should do something. The person is ill and needs to go to the hospital on Shabbos. So that's the end justifying the means. That's Beseder Gomer. But that's because the halacha gives you the dispensation to be Mechal Shabbos. But we don't make the determination, we don't make the decision to be Mechal Shabbos on our own. That's not something we can do. I remember when my wife and I were first married, so over the summer in Washington Heights, it's pretty boring, and there was a little bit of a break that she had off of work. I was learning during the summer and she had off of work, so we went to Newport, Rhode Island, and they have it's a nice place to go. They have these mansions. They have a lot of mansions that they turned into museums. You can go visit the mansions. They have a shul called the Toro Synagogue, which is supposedly one of the oldest shuls in all of the United States of America. They have a lot of nice things. They have a kosher bed and breakfast over there. It's a very nice thing. So we went, and we went for a few days. I don't know if it was two days one night or 3 days two, whatever it was. And somebody called us, somebody we knew called us and spoke to us about it. They had recently gone, and they said the most beautiful part of the trip is that at sunset you could take a boat ride. They have this thing called the sunset boat ride, where you start like, I don't know, a half hour, 45 minutes before sunset, take like an hour and a half ride, and it's beautiful. You get to watch the sunset, and if it's a nice day and the sun is out, and it's beautiful. The problem is, that there's only one minyan in Newport, Rhode Island, and that always takes place at sunset. Right? Mincha is always 15 minutes before. Maariv is always 15 minutes, is always the first 15 minutes after Shkia. And that was the only place to get a minyan. So I remember thinking, like, yeah, the sunset boat ride is beautiful. And I'm not going to get into the shaila if you're allowed to go on a vacation to a place that doesn't have a minyan. That's not for now, and that's not what I'm getting at. Everybody should ask their shaila and their situation. But in the moment, my reaction was, if there's only, you know, if I was in Passaic, I could daven my mincha early, and then I could catch a late marav. I could go to a sunset boat ride. But if I'm in Newport, Rhode Island, and there's only one minyan, and it's right around Shkia, so that means that I have to, the first thing my responsibility is to go to shul daven mincha marav. And if it means that sunset boat ride is not an option for us, then it wasn't meant for us to be able to do. Because our job in life is to do the Ratzon Hashem, as explained in the halacha, in the Torah, and in the Shulchan Aruch. And that was that's the message that the first message that the Gra gives, even before he writes the letter, is that he never made it to Eretz Yisrael, because making it to Eretz Yisrael would have included moments where he was violating, at least in his opinion, violating the halacha or not keeping the halacha to the highest level, and that already made it not worth it to go to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's begin the Igeres after all of that. We start with the words Basi Levakish. Basi Levakish Meitchem. So he says to his wife and his mother, I have come to request from you, Shalot Tetzaru Klal Uklal. Please don't be bothered at all. Meaning the fact that I left, please do not be bothered. Like you promised me. It sounds like he already made them promise that they wouldn't be upset at him and that they would give him their full bracha that he should go. V'gam lo tidagu, don't worry about me. You have to remember, says the Vilna Gaon, you know, this was Maisim B'chol Yom. There are sugyas all over Shas about people going to Medina Sayyam. They're going overseas. Why are they going overseas? For business. People go overseas for business all the time. They get on a boat, and they know that there's a possibility that the boat could sink, that we put ourselves in potential danger because it's our parnasa. So he said, people travel the world to and they leave their family for years to earn money. Manichim nishosem, they leave their wives. V'gamhim nova not b'choser kol. So he says, you know, everybody leaves what they're doing, and they run. They run all over the world trying to make some money. Vani and I, Todal Akel, thank God, no say Allah Aretz HaKadosha. I have the bracha. I'm not running to some business in Germany, in France, in England. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Shakol Metzapim Lerosa. Everybody wishes they can go to Eretz Yisrael, wishes they could see Eretz Yisrael. Chemdas kol aretz, it's the beauty of kol Yisrael. It's the chemda, the desire of kol Yisrael. It's what we yearn for. It's what we dream about. V'ani noseya b'shalom baruch Hashem. And I'm going peacefully. I'm not being dragged there in chains. I'm not being forced to go. I'm going b'shalom. I'm going to grow in ruchnius, not even for money. V'gam at yodas. Sheinachti yaldei, you know, I left my children, shalibi homa aleihem, that my heart yearns about them. My children who I love, this wasn't an easy thing for me either. I left my children. V'chol sfarah hayekarim, and my dear sfarim, his precious sfarim, which he puts on the same line as his children, for the Vilna Gaon, it was very hard. They quote here that Rabbi Baruch Ber, I saw that they quoted also in the English Gra, but Rabbi Goldberg quotes this Maisa, which I've heard this Maisa, that there was, I think, 1939. Rabbi Baruch Ber was Nifter, I think, in 1940. But in 1939, Rabbi Baruch Ber had to get out of the town where he was, and they came to, like, his friends came to take him, otherwise he wouldn't leave. And he said it was like, as he was walking out, he's like, but I can't leave the Rashba and the Rambam and the Ketzois and the Nesivos. I can't leave all these farim behind. He had a very close connection to them. So he felt like, I it's not so easy for me to go. I left everything. Don't Don't be upset at me. So the first thing that he tells his wife and his mother is, don't be upset at me. I'm leaving, but it's not so easy for me to leave. You should know it's a big bracha. I'm going for good reasons. I'm not going for because we're poor. I'm going because I want to grow in ruchnius. And these are the reasons he gives. It's interesting that the first thing he says is like, promise me like that this won't cause you any pain. They quote here in the art scroll, the art scroll says that Rav Dan Segal, who's a mashgiach, he used to be mashgiach in Mir Brooklyn, I think, but he's a mashgiach in Eretz Yisrael, and he's a big ball madrega. Rav Dan Segal used to say that somebody once asked the Chazon Ish how you reach perfection, shlemus, in your actions, and he said, his answer was, go through this world without causing anybody any tzar, without hurting another yid. Like, that's first and foremost, so that's number one in the Igaris Agra, is don't do something that's going to cause pain to somebody else. Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, from Mesilas Yesharim fame, the Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair once had to pass through a river. He asked the river to stop. There's actually a couple of stories in Shas, in the Yerushalmi and in the Bavli, about Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair coming to pass over the river. He comes to the river, he says, please stop so I can get through. And then his Talmidim see that he's walking through the river on dry land, and they ask him, could we do the same thing? And he says, if you've never hurt another yid, then you could also ask the river to stop and it'll stop for you. But only if you can promise that you've never hurt another yid. We see a person who has never hurt another yid, what he was saying was, if you're on the Madrega that you've never hurt another yid, you're already roi to be able to stop the river from flowing. You could do a Kriyas Yamsuf. It's a very high Madrega. But that's the first thing that the Vilna Gaon was worried about. V'yadua, the Vilna Gaon continues, ki kol ha'olam hazeh ha'kol hevel. Like Sefer Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech, hevel ha'olam. This olam hazeh is really hevel. V'chol ha'shashuim ha'kol kelam. And all the enjoyments are a waste. V'oyla ha'rot v'machar hevel in b'moil. Woe is to those who chase after the hevel. It doesn't help you at all. V'altakani ba'osher. Don't be jealous of the people who are rich. Ki yesh osher, shamur l'balav l'ra'aso. Wealth can sometimes be the most difficult thing. I have seen it with my own eyes. There's nothing wrong with being comfortable, having enough money to pay for the things that you want, the things that you need. People who have too much money look for things to do, look for things to amuse themselves with, and I've seen it with my own eyes. It doesn't go well. I wouldn't wish philanthropy or billions of dollars on anybody. I would not. Maybe my enemies, but not anybody that I like. Because with billions of dollars, I see people and what they do and what happens with their lives, and I wouldn't want to be them. Okay. Much better to be like a thousandaire than a billionaire. That's why it's good to be a Rebbe. Never have to worry. Kasher yetze mi beten imo orim Yashuv kol umat omat shaba ken yelech umat yisro lo shiamo l'ruach v'ilu chaya elef shanim pa'am pa'mayim ki im shanim harbe yichi adam b'kulam yismach v'yizkor yisi mei hachoshach ki arbe yiyu kol shaba hevel l'simcha mazo osa ki mochar tivke me'asher hayom tishchak. Today, tomorrow you're going to cry from the fact that you had a good time today. V'altakani b'kavod ha'meduma ha'evel, and don't be jealous of people who get kavod ha'meduma. You should know, like when you see in politics, people who get kavod, the only reason they get kavod is because there are people who want to move up in the ranks, and people who themselves want to become more important, so they give kavod to the person above them, so that hopefully the person above them will bring them up. Vazman bogeid, and time tricks us, ukimoz naim yakbiha hakal v'yashbil hakavod. It brings up the, when you have a scale, the things that are heavy, that are important, go to the bottom. In a scale, the things that are light go up. So you see it going up, but going up means that it's nothing. It's really nothing. This world is like drinking salty water. You see, you have a tall glass of water. You're like, oh, wow, tall glass of water. And you're so excited. But the salty water, at the end, you're left with, you're in a worse place than you were before. You're thirstier than you were when you started. My Yisron, Yidmelo Shemarvev, it's a Yoser. You think that you're quenched your thirst, And really, you're thirstier than when you started. When a person dies, he hasn't even reached half his taivas. Partially because every time you get close to reaching your taivas, you fall backwards. Okay, now the next line, I remember of Brevda saying this line right before, in the Shmuz he gave right before Rosh Hashanah. It was in a sing-song tune. He said they used to say it in the Shtiblach. Zechor HaRishonim. I remember I wrote it down on a piece of paper and I had it like in my Gemara. I always looked at it. Very powerful line. This, and I didn't know where it was. And then when I learned the Yeres Hagra a while back, I remember him telling it and I don't remember where he was telling it from. And then I saw it here and I said, there it is. It was from the Yeres Hagra. Zechor HaRishonim Asher Hayu Lefaneinu. Remember those earlier ones who came before you. Shkol Ahavasam V'chemdasam V'simchasam Kara Avda U'mekabel Malzadinim Arubim. You think back, even think back to yourself, something that 2 years ago was so important to you. You had such a taiva for it, you wanted it so much. Kvar avda. You don't even remember that you wanted it. You probably can't remember the thing that you wanted 2 years ago. People who really desired something 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, their desire is gone, and they're not necessarily alive either. And now they're in Shamayim paying it back. We have to realize, we just have to make it through. I was talking to somebody today, somebody who, whatever it was, had a medical scare recently. And I said to the person, I said, you shouldn't really feel bad about it. I mean, you should realize that Bichlal, we only have, at best, another 40 or so, maybe a little bit more years. We don't have so much time in this world anyway. I said, even the people that are healthy now, we've reached an age where there's not so much time left. And even if you live a long life, you live till 90, I mean, how much time do you have? You really, as you get older, you see it's really not so much time. You have to figure out what's important and you just got to get moving with doing it. And if the Ribono Shel Olam says at 50, it's time to stop, azoy. If he says at 30, it's time to stop, azoy. You're not Bechlal in charge of that. You know, the person was like nervous that this medical episode was going to continue, and I said to the person, you're really in the same boat as everybody else. Everybody else is also, we don't have so much time left. None of us do. At this point, it's already, and as you get older, you realize that, but you have less and less time to deal with it. This world is not so long for us. We're going to be gone, and then people are going to be talking about us and our desires. So think about our desires in our moment. If we could get through the desire, if we could overcome that taiva, then, and we could grow from it, then we could take it with us to the next world. And if not, we could give in to something which is so fleeting that nobody cares about somebody who in 1965 wanted to eat a cheeseburger. It's bechal not important, and the person's not around, and it's not, there's nothing to it. All those people, there's nothing left to it. And that's what's going to become of us. So if that's what's going to become of us, why give in to things that you're going to have to pay for later? So you're going to have a good cheeseburger? Okay. And then you'll go back into the ground. Person's going to die. It's going to become bad for them in the grave. The Mesillas Yesharim at the beginning already alluded to this. This was his raya in Perek Aleph that the Ribono Shel Olam could not have created us for this world. Because you look at the way people suffer, it has to be that there was a greater purpose. Gam b'layla ener manech l'lishon, v'amoves eino mikvah. We think, you know, people, unfortunately, people think that death is an escape. Once you die, you're free. We know that that's not true b'chlal. That's kind of what when things start to be real. And unfortunately, we think that we just have to make it through, and then once we leave this world, smooth sailing. But it's just the opposite. I'll call Yavi b'mishpat. Everything is going to be taken into account. I'll call Dibor v'lo nevar afilu Dibor kal. The Mishnah Berurah writes in the Shaar HaTzion that the reason we read Maftir Yonah at Mincha of Yom Kippur is to teach us that a person should realize that there's no such thing as escaping. The Ribbono Shel Olam caught us. He has us. Not in a bad way. As in an empowering way. There's no such thing as escaping from the Ribbono Shel Olam. You did an aver, you have to stand up for it. You're going to have to pay for it anyway. Do tshuva. Don't think that you're going to... That, you know, when you do something in class, you hope that the teacher forgets. You do something at home, you hope that your parents forget. You hope that, like, it blows over and nobody catches you. There's no such thing with Ribbono Shel Olam. There's no escape. You want to try to escape, there's no such thing as escaping. And if there's no such thing as escaping, we have to face the music. And why not face the music now so that we can enjoy later? As opposed to trying to escape now and then having to pay for it later. And he ends off the paragraph, I'll call Dibor V'lo Nebar Afilo Dibor Kal, that every nekuda, the words are what's most important. I think he quotes it in the Art Scroll. Rabbi Goldberg also quotes it, that Rabbi Itzela Petterberger came to Rabbi Chaim Berlin in a dream after he was nifter, and he told Rabbi Chaim Berlin that in Shemayim, the din on speech is the most chamur thing. He said the diktuk of speech, of every word, every extra word, every word that was hurtful, there's no such thing as, like, every word. That's what they're the most makbid on. So when we know this, a tzaddik came to another tzaddik and told him that this is what it's like in Shemayim. There's no escaping, there's no fooling anybody. We have to realize that, we have to take that seriously. That's the message of the Vilna Gaon. So what he told us so far was not to hurt anybody. He told us that, he told his wife and his, but he's speaking to us also. Otherwise it wouldn't have been printed for everybody. That he is fortunate that he's going to Eretz Yisrael, and most people go all over the world running around like Meshugayim for money. He's going for Ruchnius. He ended up not going. We spoke about that. He didn't want to hurt anybody. He misses his Sfarim. But this world, the Maisa, this world is very fleeting. It's almost over. It's Hevel Havolim. And everything that happens in this world, we're going to have to pay for. And when we realize the price that it costs in Olam Haba, you know, when you go, I don't know, there used to be, when I was a kid, we used to always say there was a store in the city where, called FAO Schwartz. I don't know if it still exists. Tova, is it your grandfather? No, I don't know. Okay, I don't even know what they sell. But it always was like...
It closed down, but it might have reopened. I heard rumors.
Okay, there you go. So what was it? It was like the pencil, which you can get at, you know, Amazing Savings or CVS for 99 cents. You could spend $12. That's what the difference between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. It's worth 99 cents, but if you use it in this world, it's like you went to New York City and you went to the most expensive store to buy it. You're going to have to pay a lot of money for that. So we should take these things to heart, be careful about what we say, not to hurt anybody, and to use our speech, and to always realize that to ignore our ruchnius, to turn away from it, and to not think that we have to answer to it, and you know, you can get away from reality. You turn on a screen, and you're no longer in reality, and you've escaped everything. But understand that just like Yonah, there's no such thing as a real escape. So that's the beginning of the Geras Hagra, so I guess the next year will be starting from V'lachin Ani Masircha, and we'll have to figure out if we can work out next week, and if not, I'll try to post the shirim and send them out.